It's Phil Taylor, and this is the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. And I believe we have Tabitha Guija on the line. Are you there, Tabitha? Hello? I think she might be there. Are you there, Tabitha?
Yes, I am.
Oh,
hello.
Well, this is just my day for stepping on my own feet. Thank you. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm sorry we're getting to you in a different schedule, but that's all my own errors. And Tabitha, you recently were in Montreal to receive an award on behalf of your, on behalf of your niece, Diane Shima Wigara. And that was, the award was in the name of Victoire Ingabire, who is who was rather a presidential candidate and who was put in prison. And now, if I understand rightly, Diane Shima Wigara is in prison. And not only her, but another of your a second niece of yours, and also your sister. Is that right?
Yes, it is right. Yes.
What is your reaction? You must have your speech to the those in Montreal. That's quite a meeting of people who supported both Victoire Ingabire and Diane Wigara. What were your thoughts that night?
That night it was beautiful, and these two women, they are women of character.
Mm-hmm.
These women, Victoire Umuhoza Ingabire and Diane Shima Wigara, one Hutu, another, and the other Tutsi, both with a message at different times, daring to do what no other Rwandan is daring to do or say, and that is no to Kagame, no to dictatorship, no to continuously killing and ordering the disappearing of innocent Rwandans.
Mm-hmm.
Pardon me?
Yes, no, I was just to follow on that, could you tell us, I mean, what was it, have they yet told Diane and the others why they have been removed from their home and put in prison? We see publicity, but what are the facts around this matter?
Diane Shima Wigara and Victoire Ingabire Umuhoza are today in prison, as you said, because they want to claim their rights and those of Rwandan people to freely express themselves and have a say and contribute in making Rwanda and more democratic country. The injustice these women have endured, along with their families, should, you know, alarm the world that they cannot allow this to take a place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If I can continue.
Sure.
Canadians need to stand up for these brave women and see that the Rwanda is led by a dictatorship, a dictator.
Mm-hmm.
There is a dictatorship in Rwanda, and led by a dictator.
Mm-hmm. And the remarkable thing, we really need to praise the courage and of both these women, because there have been challenges before, political challenges, but they had been by people who were in the diaspora living abroad. I think of Faustin Twegiri Mungu, for example. But this time, it is inside the country. And what motivated, gives a strength to Diane and her family, for example? What caused them to come forward inside Rwanda?
Inside of Rwanda. Before I go into Diane Shima Wigara and the family's story, I would like to say something again about these two women. It was very good and honorable for these women to be recognized for their unselfish willingness to fight for Rwandan people. And before I go to the other, you know, talking about Diane and her family, I would like to take this opportunity once again, even though I did in Montreal, to thank the organization Réseau International des Femmes pour la Démocratie LFK for giving them this award. Mm-hmm. Now they have to be supported more than ever before so that, you know, what they have begun continues to show the world, the whole world, that Rwanda needs a change.
Please continue. I'm sorry.
I don't know if you want me to talk about Diane and her family story.
She lost.
Long story, but yes.
Yeah, she lost her father in an assassination. That at least the family alleged that. What was that? Had to be a crucial moment. Who was her father, and what happened there?
Yes, thank you for asking me that question. On February 4th, 2017, Rwigara Assinapol, that's Diane Sima's father, was assassinated by the President Paul Kagame's regime in the city of Kigali, country of Rwanda. Mm-hmm. This assassination was designed by the President's regime to look like it was an accident. Mm-hmm. By the time Assinapol was still alive, his wife, Adeline, and his daughter, Anne, arrived at the scene. At that time, the police officers began to prepare the body bag. Mm-hmm. At that time, they knew, knowing that he was still alive. Mm-hmm. Adeline and Anne, that's the second daughter of Assinapol Rwigara, Anne, they were begged that he may be taken to the hospital. But the policemen, they refused. Instead, he was taken to the morgue. Mm-hmm. On the way, going there, they finished him by stabbing him in the back of the head. Mm-hmm. After he died, as, you know, if taking the father, a husband, of the family was not enough, they began destroy everything he had worked for, demolished the hotel, and took everything in it, closed all family businesses, which included two factories, closed all accounts, and took all money they can find.
Extraordinary.
So after that,
it's extraordinary use of power. I mean, there's no litigation and court orders. It was simply they just did it?
Whatsoever. None whatsoever. So on May 3rd, 2017, that's when Diane Sima Rwigara announced her plan to run for the presidency. Right? She had all right to do it. She's Rwandan. She's, you know.
Yes.
Unfortunately, The government made it impossible for her. In the end, they made sure that she was not eligible to officially become a candidate while they used false information.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever was involved in her campaign was getting in trouble. Some of them were getting beaten, and others were simply disappearing. Diane complained so many times to the police. But of course, nothing was done about it.
Yes.
And even after, even after she was told that she cannot run for the presidency, the harassment did not end. Little did they know it was just the beginning. Mm-hmm. A month after the election of the president, which happened on August 4th, 2017, the police broke into the house, put them in handcuffs, destroyed all their belongings, took their phones, computers, and all documents. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, it has been a living nightmare for the entire family since that day.
Yeah. Now, by the way, I mean, the comments made by Diane and her mother pointed out that this is a leader, maximum leader, Paul Kagame, who told the world that he won 98% of the vote. And wasn't it Diane said, if you have 98% of the vote, why are you afraid of me?
That's exactly right. It doesn't make sense. They won 99%, but still, they went after Diane. It did not make sense at all. So Diane, her sister Anne, and the mother, Adeline, had been detained. Can you believe that? Had been detained, living in very, very bad conditions. Mm-hmm. First week, when they have been held, they did not eat, drink, or have medical attention that they needed. For what, really? For what?
Mm-hmm.
After they went through their phone, they took a private conversation. It happened between family members, including myself,
mm-hmm.
including myself, because I was talking to my sister, Adeline.
So they taped the conversation and played it publicly.
And they played it, exactly. So they used them to fabricate false accusations that later on were brought into the courtroom, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So after a month of unfair trial, although Anne and Adeline, her mother, share almost exactly the same charges, but Anne Diane's sister, yeah, was the only one to be released today.
They
released Anne, not mm-hmm. Adeline.
Isn't she the one that's an American citizen?
Yes, Anne, she's the one who has American citizenship. Yeah, yes. Well, listen, I thank God for the release of my niece Anne, but I am asking the government of Rwanda, specifically, President Paul Kagame, to release Adeline and Diane Shimazingara, because he knows, seriously, he knows deep down that they are innocent.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're guilty of wanting democracy.
That's it.
This is Tabitha Gwiza. She is the aunt of Diane Shimawigara, the presidential candidate, now imprisoned with her mother. Isn't one of the features of the present effort that you are making and others that probably upsets the leader, Paul Kagame, is that your family is Tutsi family, and that a family and Victoire Ingabire is Hutu. Which,
yes,
according to Paul Kagame, this is not possible.
It's not possible.
And not something he wants to see.
Yes, that's exactly right. Because it looks like he doesn't want the Tutsis and the Hutus to be together. He's the one who is always divided people, mm-hmm. you know, make divisions in between people. Mm-hmm. So to me, if you allow me to continue,
please.
In 1994, a genocide against Tutsis happened.
Mm-hmm.
And the world was watching and did not do anything about it. At that time, I was terrified. But today, I feel the same pain I did then, because similar to the tragedy 23 years ago, people are being killed. And yet, again, the world is watching silently.
Mm-hmm. Well,
it felt
to
me, it felt as though the genocide never came to an end.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
well,
go ahead.
Yes, it's continued into Congo, and many hundreds of thousands lost their lives in the Congo, and it's never discussed here. Now, it is a fact that Paul Kagame's way of holding on to power is to say that he saved the country, and mm-hmm. that he's pure as a driven snow. But that his role now is because many questioned his own behavior and causing the loss of lives of Rwandans. What do you think of that?
I think you are right. He claimed that he's the one who stopped the genocide. But since then, people have been dying here and there. Hmm. So to me, that's what I was just telling you, that I feel like genocide never came to the end, because people are still dying even now after 23 years.
Yes. I know that Philip Rentschens, the Belgian author, legal expert, he testified in Tanzania, and he said in court, he said the genocide actually didn't end. It simply changed the forces committing genocide. And now we have a situation where at least this might be brought to light or talked about, because we have two wonderful young women. We have Victoire Ingabire and Diane Shima Wigara. And the fact that you had the meeting in Montreal and the award, you were able to accept that on behalf of Diane, and that's really very impressive.
Oh, yes. It was great. I was telling these women who did it that actually we should give them a award too, because what they are doing is beautiful. It's just the, you know, to just to make well, that
well, the Canadian
to recognize these women.
Yes, the Europeans and the other Africans and Canada should take note that there is an actual struggle for democracy and peace,
yes,
being led by a Hutu and a Tutsi women. Absolutely remarkable.
Absolutely.
Tabitha, it's been great to talk to you. I hope we can call you again, because this case is only just now beginning to unfold, right? I mean, they are in custody. There's no trial as yet. We don't even actually know the charges, I don't believe.
So I hope
we can call you again, and you can tell us how it is developing. And of course, we all hope that both these women are released soon.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me. And you can call me anytime, and I'll be so happy to talk to you and tell you what's going on again. Thank you so much.
Thank you. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That's Tabitha Gwiza. And again, I apologize for the peculiar beginning. I had my notes backwards, so I had the wrong person. I gave Carol a heart attack. She said, just fainted in her chair, and I don't blame her. This is CIUT, the Tato Report, and 89.5 FM, November 13th. Lucky day. We're going to be on the air, but this is your early bird update, because it's hashtag Sound of Your City. Sound of Your City. And you can start to contribute now, and you can get in on this chance to go to Iceland. And as I said, our goal is 60,000. The first person gives us 60,000, I guarantee you're going to go to Iceland. And the entire staff here will pray for your immortal remains too. There's also, well, and you can catch us on Facebook.com/The Taylor Report and SoundCloud.com/Taylor-Report.